Hi, everybody. Thank you for your support as always. The NARCCon podcast is now offering a membership only subscription of the price of a cup of coffee per month for all new and some of the old podcasts going into the membership section. Please join us if you'd like more of this content. We would love to see you there. And to remind you, should you wish to avail of the free content, it is available over on YouTube in both video and podcast form. God bless everyone. Take care, and I hope you enjoy the content that's to come. Hello, everyone, and you are sure so welcome to our podcast, NARCCon, where today we're going to cover four of the cruelest tactics a narcissist will use that can actually break a person and leave them in a terrible state. So recognition and knowledge is everything to understand what we've been through with a narcissist, or even if you're in a relationship currently with a narcissist, understanding is crucial to you getting yourself out of there and knowing that you're being manipulated and that this is what the narcissist does to everybody, and to depersonalize the situation is going to save you or is going to save someone else if you can share the information. So let's get into it. The first thing a narcissist can do or will do is their general behavior cycle. It's their modus operandi. It's what they do with everybody. We're taking this example in a particularly intimate relationship rather than any other familial, workplace or friendship. But they do follow the same patterns with everybody. In the intimate relationship, it's easier to spot because it comes quicker in sections. Whereas if you have a friendship or a workplace colleague, you can be extended in the type of love bomb good phase before you go into a less noticeable devaluation afterwards. So that's why we're taking the intimate relationship. So one of the first things that they will do is they will love bomb you. And what that consists of, that's when they meet you, is they will intensely concentrate on you. And that may be something that you've never had before. You know, there may have been a lot of children in your family. Your parents may have been very busy. You may have had a narcissist as a parent. But for anybody, for any human being, to be fully concentrated on in an intense manner, and to be, a lot of narcissists will do things in a different way, like a lower kind of functioning narcissist won't give you such a big love bomb, but it will be their best effort. So we're going to take it from the commoner gardener narcissist that will give you the type of love bomb where they praise you as a person. They're very curious about you. They ask you a lot of questions. They mirror you and say that they're very like you, that they agree with everything you're saying. And one aspect of a love bomb that people don't often pick up on is if a narcissist comes in as a victim and asks you for help in the love bomb stage, they can praise you highly and make you feel very validated for actually helping them. And that raises your dopamine levels and actually attaches you to the person you're concentrating so much on helping. So it's a very insidious form of love bombing. It's a real attachment tool that a narcissist will use. So there's great concentration on you. You're feeling on top of the world. All of your good qualities are being used in the love bomb, you know, stage, where you're able to help and assist and see the results of your help and assistance being fed back to you in the form of somebody looking like they're falling in love with you. As well as that, you may feel the best of yourself at that stage because they will be instigating your qualities, like allowing you and facilitating you to be the best version of yourself. So it's extremely intoxicating. It's extremely overpowering. And it's a wonderful feeling. And what they're actually doing as well as that is promising you a reward for the amazing person that they think you are, that they say they think you are. They found you as this unique person that they want to invest their time and energy into, and they paint a picture of the future you can have together because you're so amazing and because they've chosen you. It's absolutely intoxicating. It's like being in love by five rather than just being in love with one person. So they're hitting you at all levels. And, you know, people even say, oh, I think this is too good to be true. And it actually is. It's a manipulation. So what's cruel about it then, Paula, you may say? The cruelty of this is that the narcissist builds you up gradually to a pinnacle, or it's often said in our community, they put you on a pedestal as being this perfect person that they love 100%, that you're the one for them and that you will be together forever. And then what they slowly do then, and it's, you know, when you think about it, it is so cruel and sadistic. They have built your self-esteem up to such an extent, but built on their say-so. They then gradually start to strip you apart, piece by piece by piece. And they start to withdraw affection because you haven't added up to what they told you you were and got you to feel in the first place. So they're basically saying, oh, you're not so great, very slowly. But that's essentially like, say a person needed to recover from an operation and they spent months and months and months, put a lot of effort into regaining the ability to walk. That's like once the person has done that, bashing into their legs again so that they can no longer walk. It is literally one of the cruelest and most psychologically damaging, spiritually and emotionally also, things you can do to a person when they've invested truth in you and you've allowed them, the narcissist has allowed the person to actually self-actualize. The narcissist has facilitated the love and trust and confidence building in the person that they may actually have missed out on in childhood. And every human being has some part of them that is looking for something, and the narcissist will fulfill that something and then cruelly take it away from you in a piece by piece fashion. Basically telling you, you don't deserve the good feeling you're getting because you're nothing like that person. It is mind-blowingly cruel as we tend to try our best to hold on to that feeling because it is the most exquisite feeling in the world, feeling on top of the world and feeling on top of yourself and the best version of yourself. And the best version of yourself that you feel at that stage is then told that you're totally no good. You totally don't measure up to who you think you are. And the narcissist takes you away piece by piece. That's the first of the cruelest tactics a narcissist will use against you. The second insidious, disgusting tactic a narcissist will use is, in the process of the devaluation and in the process of the love bomb, what effectively they're doing is attaching you to them and gradually maneuvering your view of the world into their view of the world. And if you don't buy into their view of the world, and this is subtle, guys, so you don't recognize it happening, it's a form of gaslighting. They'll start to change your perception of people and of things and of yourself. And they will manipulate that process. They will misrepresent things that messages maybe people are passing on to you. They will stand in the way of you actually moving forward. Like if you have a job promotion or something or an interview coming up, they will cause a lot of chaos or angst in the time that is coming up, or cause a crisis or a drama where you're needed to help. But so basically they'll sabotage you as you go along, but let you feel that it's your fault and that you've fallen down and that you're not good enough. So there is a gaslighting of your reality. There is you thinking that this person is the person that loves you and has your back, while they're actually the enemy sleeping in your bed. They're gaslighting the whole experience you're having within the relationship that you're having. And it's basically, in simple terms, they're conning you. They're a fraudster. They're a con artist. They're playing a role specifically customized to you. And what you think is real and the reality they're presenting to you as real is fake, is as thin as air, is a hologram of reality. So the cruelty in that is that you have lived in this reality maybe for a year, maybe for more, and you've put all of your efforts into believing in that reality that is literally going to be stripped away from you in an instant. It is like the death of the person that you have been building into and the future that you have been building into because you're with a narcissist. It is extremely cruel because they have no care and no empathy that they're falsifying life to you, the common term gaslighting. They're falsifying love. They're falsifying a future. They're totally and utterly lying. It's deception. It's dark. And that is extremely cruel to do that to a person and to strip the rug out from under that person. And they'll do it when you're at your most vulnerable. Now, that is, to me, modern annihilation of a person. Whereas before, years and hundreds of years ago, you just would have brought your sword to the battlefield and used the sword to end that person's existence. This is the most modern of murders. That's the only way I can describe it. It is extremely cruel and destabilizing for a person, particularly if that person had other instances in their childhood where there was cruelty and where they were told that they were no good. And suddenly they feel wonderful and they feel fulfilled and they feel their dream has come true and this person truly loves them. And then that they get slapped in the face and told, it was a joke. You're a joke. Number three. The third of the cruelest tactics a narcissist will use against you is emotionally withholding on you. They're literally using love and the feel-good factor like carrot dangling in front of you and taking that away from you if you don't do exactly what they want you to do. And one of the most awful ways that a narcissist will do this is in what I call a present silent treatment, where they're giving you a silent treatment. That's a very obvious one. They can do it in much more subtle ways, but silent treatment is when they just literally don't speak to you. And it could be because you didn't put the top on the toothpaste. It can be as little as that. It's nothing actually to do with what you've done. It's the fact that they need you under control more, that you've done something imperceptible that has threatened their control. You might even have been happy and they decide that you shouldn't be happy because it wasn't them that made you happy, it was something else. And they can't allow you to get your validation or happiness from any outside source because they're grooming your brain to think that the narcissist is the only cause and the only way you can ever be happy. Which leaves people in a terrible state when the narcissist goes, because there is an untangling of the neural pathways of your brain that all focus on the narcissist as being your survival source and the narcissist as the only one that can make you happy. So I hope you understand, if you are just discarded or still in an awful state, 6 months in, a year in, whatever you're in, it was a brain process, a grooming process, where the narcissist did not allow you to feel validated in as much as they could control. They can't control every aspect, like if you go out to work, although a lot of narcissists will try and have the person they're with not to work, or to work for them, or to work at home. So the narcissist knows that person, their target, is not getting validated from any outside source. But it all boils down to the control center, that's the narcissist. So that was the third point, withholding, being silent, not speaking to you. I mean, childish or devilish or devilish. It is, it's unbelievable that an adult can go around the house not speaking to another adult as a form of punishment. It's like, I'm not speaking to you anymore. It's very upsetting if you don't know, like you've been totally in love with this person and you're building a future together. And suddenly they have such disdain and hate for you and disrespect that they won't even talk to you. That's cruel. It's cruelty to a person who doesn't know what's going on. You know, you're emotionally invested in this person. You love them. You trust them. What on earth's name? How bad could you be that this person now all of a sudden won't speak to you, won't acknowledge your presence, passes you by on the hall, stairs and landing as if you're a ghost? Or so, you know, the stupid behaviour, they sidestep and get the narcissist out, narcissist spray, and get rid of them, off on the donkey, as I say. We've no time for narcissists. It's a waste of life. They want to carry on like that, go to a narcissist colony and do it with other narcissists if that's the way you want to live your life. It's a pathetic form of living a life. But to the uninitiated, the first experience of the silent treatment is shocking, because we personalise it. We think, I must be such a terrible person. This person won't talk to me. It's horrible. So that's when they're with you. When they're without you, when they just up and leave and don't tell you where they are all of a sudden as a punishment, as a withholding of everything, of their presence, of their voice, of their acknowledgement of you as existing. They want to obliterate your existence. That's how much they're withholding when they go into this phase. They can do it in more subtle ways, where normally, say, they would appreciate something you did and they don't, or they say someone else would do it better, and you can't seem to get back into their good books until you've nearly stood on your head and stayed there for 10 hours and said, is it okay now for me to come down? You know, when we look back on it, it's ridiculous. When we're in it, it's torturous. It's torturous because we think that this person is normal. And, you know, people will say, well, surely to God, like when they did that, you would have known there was something wrong with them. If that was an isolated instance and you hadn't much involvement, emotional or spiritual or full involvement with this person, yes, of course, that would have seemed crazy. But with all the other things going on, your mind is not yours. Your mind is somewhere else. And you don't see this for what it is objectively, because the narcissist has you in an emotional mothball, is the only way I can describe it. You're so immersed in that spider's web that you try to see through one thread and another thread captures you on the other side. It's very, very difficult to look at things objectively when you don't have the information and you're emotionally immersed with a narcissist. But now, after this podcast and maybe others you might watch, you know the tactics of a narcissist. So once you get someone playing that kind of tactic on you, it's bye-bye, at least until you see some other accountability or qualifying behaviour where they're extremely sorry for doing that and, you know, you have enough to go on that they're not a narcissist. But these behaviours are typical of narcissists and they all do them. So the fourth and most awful and very, very shocking and cruelest of behaviours is that, you know, you think you've been through all this with a person in an intimate relationship. So you've had the love bomb where you were told you were the bee's knees, and then they literally tried to fly swat you off the face of the earth in the devaluation and told you that you misrepresented yourself, that you think you're great and you're actually so not great. You're actually not worth me even speaking with you when they give you, you know, they withhold from you emotionally. And they use validation as a tool to whip you with. They use love or the pretense of love as a bribe to control your behavior. And they will withdraw that when you don't totally comply to what the narcissist wants you to do. All this cruelty you have gone through. And then when at your weakest point, they literally throw you in the garbage. So you've been through all this and you're trying to seek some personal closure. They won't give you closure either, or they'll tell you just awful things about yourself, as if because you weren't good enough, the relationship is over. That's the type of closure some narcissists will give you. Well, here goes, you think it can't get any worse than that. And you're trying to find peace and you're trying to understand what's happened. And you're trying to, as so many people that don't know about this type of narcissistic abuse and recovery from it will tell you, it's time now to move on. Just you have to let this go and you have to move on. And if only you could pull all those wires out of your head and get out of the spider's web totally, that's what you do. In any case, you're trying to move forward and you're trying to find some peace within, and you're trying to let the relationship go, and you're trying to think, well, it just didn't work out and I have to accept this now and let the person go in peace, and I will try and, you know, close things down in a peaceful manner. And lo and behold, when you think that you've gotten away with it to that point, you've actually survived the cruelty and you're trying your very best to move forward, you're trying to apply for a new job, you're trying to get on with your life. Next thing, you think that the narcissist can't do anything further to you. You think that, you know, when a relationship ends, both people go their separate ways, may be angry for a time, but want the best for each other. After all, they've spent a part of their lives together. So why would they not want the best for someone who cared for them and they cared for you or whatever? Lo and behold, you hear the narcissist is smearing your name to all and sundry, is actually ringing up the place that you're going to try and get a job, you're going for an interview, and telling them there's something wrong with you, or has reported you to the authorities for something you didn't do, and is telling friends and family or anyone that listen that you're mentally unstable and that you need to be locked up, that you're a dreadful person, that you cheated on them and it was them that cheated on you. The most disgusting things are going around about you. And you've discovered from talking to some people that during the relationship, the narcissist was bad-mouthing you. And that the narcissist actually told lies about you. And they continue to do this and make your life as difficult as possible, when you've been on the brink of not actually getting through this experience from the first three cruelties you experienced, uneducated in relation to the fact that people who have narcissistic personality disorder and God knows what else going on inside them that's of a dark nature, what creatures lurk behind that type of behaviour. They're perpetuating your downfall with a smear campaign. And that is the fourth of the most cruel things that you could do. And you didn't actually do anything to them. You're just trying to recover. However, and I'd like to end on this note, the more the narcissist tries to smear your name and the more they try to hurt you, means the better the person you are, because they were threatened by your existence. They were threatened by whatever light they saw in you that they could not put out. In any war against a human being, the tactics I've mentioned there, those four tactics, are enough to have a person give up totally or turn to the dark side or want to, let's say, leave our planet. They are the cruelest, most deceptive, hardest to prove, personally attacking, stealthily attacking a person's existence. They are an attempt to put out your light. And the stronger your light, the harder the narcissist will go at you to put it out. Because light threatens what they're about. They're about destruction, taking, stealing, killing, controlling. They're on a different level, and I would like to do a podcast about that. A different level of enlightenment and development. They're at a very base level. They're not on a growth or an awakened or a spiritual level where they understand that these dark acts keep them in darkness and that it's through pain and awakening that we can actually experience the opposite of that. In the same measure that we suffer, we find joy. The narcissist is always about never suffering, but causing suffering to others. So their cycle is dark. It's all, you know, cause suffering so I don't suffer. Cause suffering so I don't suffer. And it's a base level of existence. And it is sad, but it is extremely cruel to anybody that comes up against it that doesn't know what they're dealing with. So on that note, we will leave this subject. But I hope that if anybody goes at you with this type of behaviour that we've mentioned, the idealisation and the devaluation, the reframing of your reality, conning you basically into thinking that you're loved, the using your emotions against you, using love as a bartering tool to control you with, and finally trying to take you down by stopping you from moving forward in your life with any type of peace, and putting obstacles in your way of escaping the web they've woven around you, and it's putting obstacles in the way of you reaching into the light that is in you and expanding it so that no narcissist can ever affect you again. And believe me, this is true. They may irritate you, but they can never dim that light again, because actually, if you survive a relationship with a narcissist and grow within yourself, that light is too darn bright for any narcissist to come up against. They need sunglasses. They need the strongest type of sunglasses. They need the hat with the shade down. Take great care of yourselves, guys, and we will see you in the next podcast. Bye for now.